Joining us now, he used to be with ESPN. He is now with the Action Network. Jason Sobel joins us. Jason, what's going on?
What's happening, fellas? Oh, just a small week in the world of golf. Not much going on.
Yeah, new gig for you, too, by the way. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, so I've moved over from ESPN to a new place called the Action Network where, I mean, quite frankly, I'm doing a lot of the same things, which is covering golf on a daily basis and going to tournaments throughout the year and talking to players and writing about what's going on out there. And it's going to have a little bit more focus on predictive analysis. And anyone who's ever, whether you're a big gambler and you're getting in on some of the odds on the Masters this week, or you just got like these little office pools and you're trying to pick winners, it seems like everyone these days wants some sort of analysis and some sort of help to whether it's make money in the office or make some big time money in the sports books. Whatever you're trying to do, you're trying to win, and we're trying to help you.
Yeah, and Action Network, our listeners can find it at actionnetwork.com. I mean, you guys do all kinds of sports. You have people reporting on them, and like you say, predictive analysis. You know, golf is interesting because it's really hard to predict in terms of setting a line, but it's kind of easy to influence the line. What's the role there for you guys?
Well, I don't know that we're going to be doing necessarily any influencing, but certainly it's difficult to predict. And I am not going to ever tell you, here's my five-star lock of the week, and you better be with me on this one because I can't lose. There are no such things as locks in sports, and there are even fewer locks in golf. It's a very difficult sport to try to predict. That said, I think we can help people become smarter about who you pick, when you pick them, and how you pick them. And I think that's what I'll try to do within my writings and podcasting and video appearances. I think we're going to have a lot of different platforms to help educate people who are putting their hard-earned money into helping them enjoy watching golf a little bit more on the weekends.
Yeah, I noticed that as I was knocking around actionnetwork.com. I mean, there's information there that could really just help you be a smarter fan, even if you're not necessarily betting or doing fantasy or anything like that. There's just good information there to help you be a better educated fan, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a huge part of it. That was a huge part of the allure for me. I did my due diligence to this, and before I came here, I spoke with a guy who we had hired as our NBA writer about a month ago, and I said, you know, what percentage of articles that you write are geared just towards gambling? He said, none of them. He said, they're all what I was writing at other places before this. It's just that instead of 30% of the readership or 50% of the readership reading it for gambling purposes, we probably have a majority of the people who are reading it for gambling purposes, but what we're writing isn't any different than anyone else's writing. And in fact, as I was making this decision, I leaned on a colleague of mine who I trust a lot and is very smart and has been around, and I told him what I was going to be doing. He said, everything we write, everything that every journalist writes in sports, it is from a gambling perspective. Everything we're writing is being looked at it like that anyway. So what we're doing is just sort of laying our cards out on the table, if you will, and just telling you that's straight up what we're looking to try to do. And we're trying to help people, like I said, become smarter and enjoy it more as a result.
All right, so well, let's get over to the actual golf tournament. And when we start talking about, you know, Masters and who's going to win, I mean, this is an interesting year because it seems like we've got guys like Mickelson and now Ian Poulter from last week and guys like Paul Casey, who's played well at Augusta, playing well, and Bubba's won golf tournaments, and Rory McIlroy's come back and won golf tournaments. It seems like we've got more guys that maybe are coming into this week playing better than we've had in a long time. So when we start looking at that, do we favor guys who have green jackets or guys who don't have green jackets?
I don't necessarily make that distinction, and quite frankly, I don't make any sort of distinction as far as there being any kind of secret formula. I've never looked at Augusta and said, you have to drive the golf ball well there. If you don't drive the golf ball well, you won't play well. Some people call it a second-shot golf course, have to hit your irons well. Other people say it's all about short game around the greens. Others will say it's all about putting. So there is no perfect answer here. What I will say, though, is that very rarely do we find contenders who haven't played well over the first 3 months of the year and magically go to Augusta and find their best stuff. So I always look at the guys who are trending in the right direction, The problem with that, if you're trying to predict it this week, is that seemingly, like you said, every guy who's a big name in the golf world this year is trending in the right direction. So you can go up and down the list of the top 10, 20 golfers in the world. There are very few of them who aren't playing very good golf coming into this.
Now, we're going to see probably the smallest field since 2008 or earlier, maybe 20 years since 98, since we had a field this small.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so you're going to see more guys, the same number of guys play on the weekend, but the cut's going to be smaller. Do we see anybody, I mean, can any of the older guys, for example, you know, Freddie Couples, or can any of those guys hang around on the weekend? Bernhard Langer's been a little bit cold lately, but we always talk about, you know, past champions and who might stick around for the weekend. I don't think any of them can contend, but I'm wondering how many of them might stick around.
Those are the two names we hear year after year just because they've done it in the past. Bernhard Langer obviously has been a stalwart in winner's circles on the Champions Tour for years now. Fred Couples, this is amazing to me, my favorite Masters stat coming into this, that since he's turned 50, he's finished in the top 20 at the Masters in 6 of 7 starts here. So it's remarkable what Fred's been able to do. But Freddie's only played one event this year. That was back in January. He's had recurring back problems, as everybody knows. But it seems like they've been even worse this year. He's even less than a part-time player. If I'm going to give you one name from that list of past champions who are a little bit older and don't play that well anymore, check out Vijay Singh. He won on the Champions Tour just a few weeks ago. He still thinks he can hang with all the big boys out there. I wouldn't be surprised to see Vijay Singh put up a couple of scores of 70-70 in the first two rounds and maybe be up there going into the weekend. Like I said, I don't think he can win, but at least make a cut and have a respectable showing by the end of Sunday.
Hey, and Jason Sobel from the Action Network joining us. And Jason, speaking of people with back problems, are you as impressed with the rest of us about Tiger Woods and this comeback? And realistically, what kind of a chance does he have here? I mean, we've seen him, you know, have a couple of top four finishes when he probably had no business of doing that, either physically or mentally. So where do we see this playing out this weekend?
I'm extremely impressed with what I've seen from Tiger Woods. I've been at four of the events so far since this comeback, and this has all happened way quicker than I ever would have thought that Tiger Woods would be able to come back. And I think that he is very much a contender going into this thing. In fact, I'll give you a little blind resume test. They always use this to match up teams against each other when the brackets are going to come out for the NCAA tournament like they did a few weeks ago. So let's do a little blind resume test. I've got player X, who has won four times this specific event. He's played it 17 times. He's never missed a cut. And in his last three starts going into that event this year, he's finished 12th, then 2nd, then 5th. What do you think, guys? Do you like that guy at that event?
Yes.
Well, that's Tiger at the Masters, obviously. And
right.
You just lay out all those numbers, and, I mean, forget everything else that we know about Tiger. Forget what we think we have seen from him in recent years or what we think we know. Just the fact that he's playing really strong golf right now and he's going to a golf course that he knows really well, I think that makes him amongst the top contenders going into this week.
Yeah, and coming into such a big event, like you, we consider ourselves stewards of the game and trying to push the game forward. And we were looking at, earlier in the show, like Sunday matchups, those final couple of groups, who we would like to see, who would be really, who would move the needle, who would get people excited. And we rarely agree on anything, but we actually agreed on five names, Tiger, Phil, Rory, Jordan, and Justin Thomas. How do those names strike you as guys who could make up that final bit? And are we missing anybody?
Yeah, I think you're missing Ricky Fowler. I think amongst the, I don't know, like 10-year-old to 24-year-old consumer, the kids that we really need to keep this game afloat for years to come, the kids that we're hoping will be the next generation of not just golfers but golf fans, and will continue watching this great sport. Ricky Fowler really resonates with those kids, and I think that you put him up there, and then, quite frankly, if you want to resonate with a completely different generation, throw Freddie Couples up there too. I just got done talking about how I don't think Freddie will be around there on the weekend. I don't think he's quite up to it, but let's hope I'm wrong, because that would be a great story in itself as well.
Interesting though, Jason, is that we actually made mention of this too. Mike, nor I, nor you to this point have mentioned world number one Dustin Johnson. Is he like almost a second thought, as you know, even though he's number one in the world, is he like a secondary guy coming into this week?
No, I don't think so. I mean, look, he doesn't move the needle as much as the other guys. And for as good as Dustin Johnson is, for as long as he hits the ball, he's just not going to resonate with people. Certainly not as much as a Tiger and a Phil, and not even as much as a Rory or a Jordan or a Ricky. So if we're talking about most popular guys that we want to see on Sunday, I don't know that he necessarily fits into that mix. If we want to talk about just pure talent and players that from a simple standpoint of we want to see the best golfers playing the best golf on Sunday, I think absolutely he's in that mix. He you know, number one in the world, as you mentioned, and he's number one for a reason because he is just that good. But then again, he's coming off a year in which he didn't play the Masters, got hurt on Wednesday before it last year. So I think there's a lot up in the air still for Dustin Johnson at this golf tournament.
Yeah, I mean, for my list, I mean, my first two out would have been Ricky Fowler and Matt Kuchar, again, sort of sentimental to different age groups. But yeah, in my top six, I didn't have DJ, and I wonder how much of that – I mean, you've got a guy, you talk about being ready-made. He's a good-looking athlete. He's got a celebrity family. He's just kind of dull. I mean, or dim. There's something about him that just doesn't do it for people. And can you imagine if he were a compelling interview, how much better, how much more popular he would be?
I will tell you this much. DJ gets sort of wrongfully billed as being – boy, you say dull, which is probably the better term. I think some people pigeonhole him as being dumb, being a little dim-witted. I have spent a lot of time around him. I've talked to him a lot. He's a lot brighter than he gives off sometimes in interviews. And quite frankly, if you look at some of his interviews, he's gotten much better. He came into the interview room prior to the Genesis Open at Riviera just a few months ago, and he had most of the media in stitches. I mean, he was telling great stories, and he was engaging. And I think as far as dealing with the media and getting out there in the public eye, I think he's made huge strides over the last couple of years. I mean, I know that we talk so much about players improving their games and working to become better inside the ropes, but at some point they have to improve their brands, too, if they're going to become more popular. And I think he's done a very good job at improving sort of his public image, at least as far as those who are paying close attention and watching him, because I think he's gotten a lot better at doing that kind of stuff lately.
All right, Jason, so we've talked about a lot of the well-knowns and the favorites. Who are some guys that we should be keeping an eye on that the people out there listening might not be quite as aware of as some of these top names?
Yeah, I always struggle with sort of sleepers and long shots because one man's sleeper is another man's favorite, and you know, it kind of depends on where you draw that line of demarcation. But I think a guy like Patrick Cantlay, who has won already on the PGA Tour, he's a young player, but I think Augusta National not only suits his game, but suits his personality. I think he's going to have a really, really nice week. Brian Harman leads the PGA Tour in top tens this season. Like I was saying earlier, I like the players who have already played well for the first 3 months of this year. I see this as sort of a celebration of those players who have already shown that they're in form. And I think Brian Harman fits that bill.
All right. Well, Jason, man, we always love talking to you. Have a great time working for the Action Network and have a great time going through the weekend here at Augusta.
Thanks, fellas. Really appreciate it. Enjoy the tournament.